Midway across the Hudson River was a perfectly circular
disc.
For the first time in our history, we're studying something that's studying us.
Nobody told me that these days like these.
Suddenly, something else flew into the frame. Fired a beam of light that struck the dummy warhead. Doing a circle, if you can imagine, circling our warhead. Fired another beam of light at it, which struck the warhead.
The Virtually Strange Network presents Strange Days Indeed, your premier source for UFO information, with your host, Errol Bruce Knapp.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, good day. Welcome to our listeners around the world to edition 361 of Strange Days Indeed, the program that observes and reports on the phenomena that surround one of the greatest mysteries that humanity has ever faced, UFOs, unidentified flying objects. This program gives you the opportunity to expand your mind and hear from and about credible people who've had incredible experiences. Tonight, now let's see how many people we can cram in the studio type of program. Tomorrow here in Toronto is the UFO Disclosure Symposium at Convocation Hall. And the speakers include three of our in-studio guests tonight. Joining Victor Vigiani and I are, in alpha order, UFO lobbyist in Washington and disclosure proponent Stephen G. Bassett, UFO researcher, author Richard Dolan, and renowned UFO researcher, author, and the godfather of Roswell, or is that the grandfather of Roswell, Stanton T. Friedman. Good evening, gentlemen. Welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Evening, Earl.
Hi, Earl.
Good evening.
Wow. I have been waiting to meet, Stanton I've met before, and Rich Dolan and Stephen G. Bassett have been on the program a number of times, and it's good to finally meet you all. It's good to have you in studio tonight.
Absolutely. I'm very glad to be here.
Thank you, Rich. And
first time to Canada in my life.
Yes. And you, and how does it feel?
I'm staying.
Stephen Bassett is staying. Stanton Friedman has been here, what now, 27 years?
25 years.
25 years. Whoa. And you come to Toronto on occasion, yeah?
Yeah, I go through it. I have to give Air Canada a chance to lose my luggage. The last three times through here going home, my luggage arrived the next day.
Was that Air Canada or one
yes.
of the... Yes.
Oh. Unfortunately.
Well, there goes another advertiser on these stations.
There goes another one. Easy come, easy go.
Good flights in, I guess, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's been
mine was an hour late, but yeah. Air Canada.
Yeah. Oh. Well, that's the program for tonight. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here.
Let's wrap it up.
I don't want you guys to scoop yourselves for tomorrow, okay? Because I know that you all have amazing things to let people know about. And it's an early start to the day tomorrow, so I don't want to... I really don't want to scoop yourselves for tomorrow, so perhaps we can talk around what you're going to talk about tomorrow without necessarily doing that.
I think that's a great idea.
There you go. Yeah. And I want to remind listeners who are going tomorrow that the doors open at 9 o'clock. The conference, the symposium itself starts at 9:30.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because I know
if they want to get there earlier, they can.
They can.
It's
going to be a decent day anyway. So
let's hope that everything weather-wise is good.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to remind everybody to be there at, you know, at 9 o'clock, you know, because there could be a lineup. We're not sure. But,
well, you've had the most astounding publicity.
We can't believe
it. I saw your face all over television.
It's been amazing.
I mean, all over the newspapers. Mike Bird was in the Globe and Mail this
morning. That's right. Yeah. We've been able
amazing press reaction to this.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
I think it's the most we've ever had to any sort of UFO related thing in this, in Toronto.
I think
anyway.
So. And let's hope it means that the press is getting more interested than they used to be, rather than they want to do anything but Katrina and Rita and what's going on in Iraq and all the bad stories.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take something a little lighter and go to UFOs.
The thing is, nobody knows whether this story of UFOs is good or bad. We may not like the answers that we hope to find out eventually.
That's a horrible thought.
Could be quite true.
You mean we're going to find out something worse than what's going on now?
Well, it could be way worse. I mean, didn't you see War of the Worlds recently?
No, I did not see War of the Worlds.
Neither did I, believe it or
I'm
not.
I'm boycotting Steven Spielberg until he funds the exopolitical movement. No. That's my position. I'm holding my $9 out.
And he's missing your $9
like
crazy.
He was just listed in Forbes magazine as, I think, the 67th richest person in America, like 2.6.
Billion.
And most of that money, $6 billion, most of that money was made doing movies on extraterrestrial themes.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of them, Hynek, was Close Encounters, and Alan Hynek was a consultant and appeared in a cameo.
Yes, he did.
So I would say that E.T. is probably 80% of his net worth, and we could use a little of that net worth out here in order to get the truth out, and also to pursue the truth in the post-disclosure world as it is, because I don't think the government's going to just roll over and start dishing out train loads of documents. I think it's going to be a fight to get clarification of what happened in the last 50 years and what we're dealing with and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to take money. It's going to take a citizen effort. It's going to be an exciting time, but
mm-hmm.
nevertheless, we need support. And Steve's on my list. Now that I've seen Forbes magazine.
That's Stephen Bassett's take on Steven Spielberg. And Steve Bassett brings up an interesting point. Okay, so we get disclosure, then what? What are we five sitting here in studio going to do after that?
Watch the stuff hit the fan big time, because this would be as big or bigger, I think, than the shakeup of the Soviet Union. I mean, you have a reality and a secret that is so utterly massive that involves probably an enormous amount of resources in terms of people and money. And, people are going to start wondering, hey, what's been going on all these last 60 years? And I think a number of heads politically would roll.
Well, it's kind of interesting to me, having just come back from China. I was in Hong Kong and then at a world UFO conference in Dalian, China. And I got a prize for my paper, Government UFO Lies. Now, you might think the Chinese would appreciate that, I guess, because
mm-hmm.
I was talking about the American government primarily. But it gives you pause when you go over there to realize that, okay, we're talking disclosure about flying saucers. But let's face it, there are more Chinese on the planet than any other variety of person. How are they going to react? What are they going to say?
Mm.
What is in the back of their minds, they've opened up on UFOs to the extent that for a while it was never talked about in China. It was like there was an embargo. You don't talk about UFOs. Now they're encouraging people. The articles over there, there were some while I was there, some in English language papers as well. They were very open and very above board and talking about the professional level of people in the Chinese UFO society.
Mm.
And it's a big society, and their newsletter is going to 400,000 people. Which is kind of a huge mailing list to my mind.
That's a big one for sure.
It's bigger than a UFO update.
And so, yeah, a little bit. And so I'm kind of curious. I mean, I spoke in Hong Kong. Their lecture was a sellout a week in advance, more than a week in advance, $10 U.S. equivalent. And they had over 300 people.
Mm.
And there's going to be a big article in a Chinese magazine coming up. The guy just emailed me about it. And so I wonder what the Chinese approach to this whole business is going to be, because they have different axes to grind than the other governments, I believe. I think they're trying to be open. Maybe that will encourage other governments to be open.
They could scoop the U.S.
That's the voice of Stanton T. Friedman. Stan, we need to take a break here. And we'll come back and we'll pick it up, actually, because that's interesting, the way that the UFO situation is evolving in China and the interest and the lack of objection by the Chinese government. A break, and we return with Stephen G. Bassett and Richard Dolan and Stanton T. Friedman, Victor Vigiani in studio tonight. The symposium is tomorrow, 9:30 at Convocation Hall, and you can hear these gentlemen along with Paul Hellyer, the former Minister of Defense in Canada. Be interesting to hear what he has to say.
Strange days indeed. UFO News Talk Radio on 1010 CFRB Toronto and Montreal CJAD 800. We'll continue with your host, Errol Bruce Mapp. Strange days indeed on Montreal's News Talk leader, CJAD 800, and News Talk 1010 CFRB in Toronto. To talk to Errol Bruce Mapp, call 1-866-866-7387.
Or you can email us, SDI@virtuallystrange.net. A very different kind of, well, not really, it's all about UFOs, but a different format tonight. We have three in-studio guests, Victor Vigiani and I. They're all speakers at tomorrow's symposium. And in reverse order this time, Stanton T. Friedman, Richard Dolan, and Stephen G. Bassett are with us in studio. And Stanton Friedman, you were saying before we took the break, you were talking about the Chinese government and what's happening in China and the phenomenal UFO mailing lists that they have over there.
It's become almost respectable, partly because the press has played the straight cards. Mm-hmm. These are professional people. They're taking it seriously. And they're not going, ha-ha, silly season is here again, as was so often the case in the West.
Yeah.
And whether they're trying to get Western governments to speak out about what they know, I don't know. I don't think the Chinese government has itself put much data on the table. But the fact that they've left the door wide open for the Chinese UFO Society, the Hong Kong UFO mm-hmm. Society, I did 7 interviews. There's a lot of coverage. And I talked to university professors. They were very interested. And so that's a part of the world we tend to forget about. Now, we have this India Daily stuff that comes out all the time, and I don't know what to make of that.
I tend to just leave it alone. I used to put it on the list, and I it sounds too much like World Weekly News.
Weekly World News. Yeah.
I didn't want to name the paper properly.
Well, leave it to me. I think that we're at a time when other things are happening in the world. Look at there are 3 new television shows that are about aliens, as I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot at one time, isn't it?
Yeah.
I have, for reasons unknown to me, been called about doing interviews for television specials a whole bunch the last few months. I was flown down to Roswell to do an interview. It's 3 days of my life, but for the Travel Channel, Discovery England flew me to the Betty and Barney Hill actual landing abduction site.
Mm-hmm.
I did a long interview with a Toronto group, as a matter of fact, in Roswell during the festival, 7 hours out in the sun. What are these guys doing? Why all this interest now? What do they know that we don't know, except that apparently...
Or what do we know that they don't know?
Well, apparently somebody thinks these are going to be winners.
Mm.
That they've got a market for this stuff. And that's good news, for somebody who's so heavily steeped in ufology as myself. But what does it mean about the larger picture? Does it mean there's a change going on? We're being mainstreamed almost?
Well, we were talking about that earlier this afternoon. Like Stephen was mentioning that the unfolding plan of all of this, that could be part of a plan. And the metaphor you were using was there's a plan, they want to pursue the plan rather than tip over the train. Isn't that what you were talking about, Stephen, earlier?
Well,
they don't want this to be sudden. They want it to be gradual in the way this information comes out.
I'm assuming this because it's certainly been gradual. I think the point I was making is that we can assume that the people that control this information and this issue in government. Remember, just talking about information. We're talking about underground facilities. We're talking about vehicles, research, ongoing stuff. This is not just a couple of documents in a tin can somewhere. That there is some sort of plan regarding this coming public. I've assumed that from the beginning. Almost certainly. There are people that tell me, no, it'll never be public in five lifetimes. It's ridiculous. I think they probably were concerned it might be public many times since 1947. And I think they also know they're running out of time. I'm certain that they know they're running out of time. And there are a lot of indications beyond what Stanton is a good indicator as to what's going on, because if things are bubbling, he's going to be one of the first people they're going to call. So he's getting a lot of action. Well, I'm seeing other indicators. People are coming forward that you wouldn't expect. Behind all of the foo-fa in the world, which is always going on, the disasters, the wars, the general stupidity, this continues along with other important issues as well. And if I'm the government and I'm facing global warming and hurricanes and wars and religious wars and suicide bombers and all the rest of this nonsense, which is generally making everybody ill, and I'm sitting on this paradigm change, it starts to look real attractive. Right? Because I assure you that if the disclosure goes down, the channels are going to switch. And people are going to turn off the war, and they're going to turn off the hurricane, they're going to turn off the Michael Jackson trial, and they're going to turn on to CNN, ETs, 24/7. A billion Chinese and the people of India and a whole lot of other people that have never set foot in the United States are going to get in front of their television, and they want to know everything that's going on about ETs. They're not going to give a darn about who broke what law 10 years ago or 50 years ago or what technology we got. They want to know about ETs. They're going to get very excited, and it's going to change the story. And we need a change of story right now. So, again, I see things fundamentally still moving towards the disclosure event.
Now, Stan was saying there's a big media shift, but I have to point out that it's not only with UFOs, it's the whole paranormal thing. I mean, you look at the number of new ghost stories, ghost programs, a lot of fantasy happening in amongst all of the reality programming that's going on.
Well, I would contend that the paranormal shows are more real than the reality shows. Mm-hmm. The reality shows are not, they're surreality shows.
Yes.
So they've bridged us finally to getting to, but there is no paranormal. I don't believe in the paranormal or the supernatural. I think both of those are misnomers that we use for our convenience. The world is what it is. Mm-hmm. It's all normal. We're just getting around to some of it.
Yeah, getting our heads around to understanding.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I caution people not to get overly worked up about this. It's going to be a big deal in some ways, but not as big as you think. Mm. Humans, if anything, are able to adapt and take for granted anything. I mean, a guy marries the most beautiful girl in his entire high school, and in 5 years he's taken her for granted like you wouldn't believe. You get a $50,000 Mercedes, and after 6 months, you're bored with it. We invented air flight. Now within 10 years, we were bitching about airline food. ETs will be announced on Monday. By 2 weeks later, people will be going, this is getting a little dull.
Yeah, and the gas prices are still going up.
Yeah, and they'll start complaining about, no, we will adjust. However, will the world change? Oh, huge. And does it need to? You betcha. And in the reconstruction of our world in the post-disclosure will be the opportunity to get some things right that we don't have right now, if we're wise. Or we can take all this new information and the new technology, and we can screw things up in an even more accelerated pace. Ultimately, I don't think the universe cares. It's up to us to make these decisions. My only job is to ensure that we have as much information when we make these decisions as opposed to being in the dark and treated like mushrooms, right? You know, every once in a while they lift the lid and dump some manure on you. Other than that, you don't hear anything.
And they keep you in the dark.
Yeah, that isn't the deal I bought into when I became an American.
I would.
I'm sorry. We have to break here, and I will come to you. I promise.
Rich is in a weak spot here.
Yes, he really is with you two.
Competing with two major.
Stephen G. Bassett to Stanton T. Friedman, and the up to the moment very quiet Richard Dolan. But we will get into some of the things that Richard is into after we break for the latest news. We being Victor Vigiani and myself. You're tuned to News Talk 1010 CFRB in Toronto. It's 9:30. Out to the newsroom for a check of the latest headlines. Here's Kate Stockman.
Strange Days Indeed on News Talk 1010 CFRB in Toronto and Montreal's News Talk leader, CJAD 800, to talk to Errol Bruce now. Call 1-866-866-7387.
And the email address is SDI at virtuallyestrange.net. In studio with Victor Vigiani and I are three of the speakers at tomorrow's UFO symposium that's happening at the University of Toronto's Convocation Hall. And if you're planning to go, be there early. The doors open at 9, and you may want to be there a little earlier because judging by the publicity, you just never know if you haven't picked up your tickets yet. In studio with me, Stephen G. Bassett and Richard Dolan and Stanton T. Friedman, who's Top Secret Magic is being reissued tomorrow, a new edition, Stan Friedman.
It's now available in Canada. It just came out this month, and it's got a 5,000-word additional chapter debunking the Magic Majestic 12 documents debunkers, if you will. And I'll be there to sign at the conference. They brought in a whole bunch of books from Vancouver. So here's the time to get a signed copy with your name in it. And give a gift for those of us who live in Canada. Remember, I'm the one of the trio that lives here.
Yeah, one of the three Americans that's a Canadian. I know. Yeah,
that's right.
Yes, you've been digging around, Richard Dolan, in archives here in Ottawa.
Yes, that's right, Earl. Just for the last 3 days, I was here with a very good friend who I don't think would want to be listed as doing UFO research, so I'll refrain from mentioning this person's name.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, I just didn't ask. I don't think it's the case. But yeah, for the last few days, I was up in Ottawa going through records of primarily the National Research Council. And it's a funny thing because just yesterday, before I was ready to leave, the last folder I went into had this letter, this really strange letter. And I wrote it out, and I've put in a photocopy request for it, and I assume that I will get it. But when I came here in Toronto today and saw Stanton, I said, "Hey, Stan, you know, I saw a letter about you in the Ottawa archives," and I mentioned this, and he had no idea. I thought that this was probably well known. Turns out it's not known at all, and it's a very nasty, mendacious letter from 1980 by the former UFO debunker Philip Klass. Klass just died a few months ago. And if you don't mind, I can just read it. It's not that long.
I love to hear scurrilous things about Stan.
This is just amazing because I have the letter he wrote, and I have a response, an internal memo that circulated in NRC as a result of this. And I'll just read the salient parts of it. It's dated August 15th, 1980, and it's to Dr. A.G. McNamara of the Hertzberg Institute of Astrophysics, and I was with the National Research Council in Ottawa. They accepted all Canadian UFO reports at that time. Mm. So here's what Phil Klass writes. "Dear Dr. McNamara, I regret that I must bring bad tidings in your UFO responsibilities," that's in quotes, "but trust that like the proverbial messenger, I shall not be executed for doing so. I have reason to believe that Canada will soon gain a noted ufologist, full-time UFO lecturer of the snake oil salesman variety, who will soon move to Canada to become its chief UFO guru. I can assure you that you and your associates will be publicly accused of a UFO cover-up, or cosmic cover-up, as he is prone to say, that dwarfs the Watergate scandal. His name is Stanton Friedman. Since the early 1970s, he has earned a comfortable living on the lecture circuit, mostly to junior colleges and the like. His lectures are very colorful. His one-hour lecture is so filled with half-truths and falsehoods that it would take me several hours to offer a rebuttal. And like wrestling with an octopus, when you manage to pin down one leg, the other seven are still thrashing about." He goes on. He says, "I am enclosing a white paper which I prepared a few years back that illustrates the man's modus operandi and his distortion of facts. Please treat this letter in confidence. in confidence, sharing it with appropriate associates as you see fit. Cordially signed, Phil Klass. As mendacious as it is, it prompted this internal memo as a response that is also available, signed by some man in the NRC. He says, "I don't know what we can do to prepare for the arrival in Canada of this man, Friedman, but if he acts like Klass, as Klass predicts, we can ill afford the publicity he will generate for us. Since there is no science in the study of UFOs, perhaps we should think again about the possibility of turning the so-called UFO file over to somebody with no responsibility for the conduct of scientific research." So, I mean, this is, you know, Klass, this, and Phil Klass had done this before. He did it back in the 60s when James McDonnell got Office of Naval Intelligence money to research UFOs, and Klass intimidated those guys at Office of Naval Research, and he did the same thing here. I don't know how effective it really was, because
Stands in the country,
and NRC
I moved
continued
here 2 weeks
UFOs.
Later. So he was really on track. I had told people I was moving, but what you notice there's no mention of my being a scientist in there.
No.
Even though he's writing it to the NRC.
Yes.
Right.
Furthermore, I have never accused the NRC of being part of the Cosmic Watergate.
I wonder
if
he was.
The charges didn't pan out, and I didn't know about this letter, so I wasn't trying to avoid him.
Got to wonder if he was trying just to intimidate them in some manner and to frightening them away from the UFO research. I mean, this is part of the response that was elicited. They weren't really thinking, what can we do to Stanton Friedman? Mm. But they were thinking, we should really drop this issue right now and not deal with it, which clearly they weren't doing anyway. They were getting all these UFO reports, and if you get this kind of attitude from a government agency, what does that mean they were doing? They were getting some amazing UFO reports that Canadian citizens were reporting for years and years, which clearly were not being investigated by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They only cared about the meteor sightings, the non-meteor ones, mm-hmm. which I'm interested in, we're all interested
right.
in, they did nothing with. And I've been to the NRC, and I've been to the National Archives many times in the early years, and I didn't take note of the fact that the Canadian files, unlike the Blue Book files, didn't have any of the crazy, far-out, irrational stuff. And lots of good RCMP reports, for example.
Yeah. Mm.
And the archives people were always cooperative to
yes.
me. I made several trips there back then.
Well, but they're Canadians.
All of those,
they're polite. They're more polite
than Americans. All of those files now go to Chris Rutkowski, all of the reports.
The new reports.
Yeah, in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, Rich Dolan digging out that letter by Klass to the National Research Council. I'm sure you're all very aware of the name Larry W. Bryant.
Yes, indeed.
He filed a FOIA request, according to an email from him that was posted to the UFO updates list today, to the FBI, asking for all the information that they have on Klass.
I filed one with the CIA about a week ago.
Oh, really?
And my next column in the MUFON Journal is my take on Klass. And I'm so glad I wasn't very pleasant about it.
Gentlemen, we need to break here. Stanton Friedman is lecturing at Niagara Community College.
Yes, next Tuesday the 27th.
That's in New York State.
New York, in Sanborn, New York, just outside Buffalo. It's 7 p.m. It's free.
Okay.
And it'll be Flying Saucers Are Real, which is not the title of my lecture tomorrow.
Good. And Stephen G. Bassett and Richard Dolan, you can get to all of their websites via tonight's program listing. We shall come back and we shall pick it up, Victor Vigiani and I, the other side of this break.
Strange days indeed on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAB 800. And News Talk 1010 CFRB in Toronto. To talk to Errol Bruce Knapp, call 1-866-866-7387. Strange days indeed on News Talk 1010 CFRB in Toronto and Montreal's News Talk leader CJAD 800 to talk to Errol Bruce now. call 1-866-866-7387.
In studio with Victor Vigiani and I are Stephen G. Bassett, Richard Dolan, and Stanton T. Friedman. And your reaction to the class letter about Stan Friedman to the National Research Council and Larry Bryant's...
In lieu of Phil Klass's recent demise, during the break, I thought I might work up a letter of my own. And so I've got a few things down here. Dear St. Peter, I'd like to inform you that you're about to receive a noted UFO researcher. And I just want to caution you that he is a tricky fellow, and that whole controversy about the Nicaea Council and everything, he's going to debunk the hell out of that. So watch this guy very closely. I'm working on it. It's a draft.
Yeah.
Right, but we'll see. I'll try to get that up. No, I was thinking that all I can say is if Larry Bryant does get a response from the FBI, that they include Phil's pay stubs from the NSA. I mean, that would be nice, you know, if they could do that.
Okay, that well, we all know that that's
is that too
funny,
inside? Is that inside baseball?
It could be a joke, but it could be true. We never. I mean, the thing, Phil Klass has been long suspected by many, many, many people who have been some kind of government operative, CIA, whatever. And you really have to wonder. I mean, the tone that he struck in this letter. What is he really doing here? Why write such a letter?
No, it's proactive.
What an underhanded. Mm-hmm. But he knew right to who to write it to. He knew just.
Sure.
He got wind somehow that Stanton was about to move.
How did he know that?
That's an interesting question.
And he said he heard secondhand. Mm. I read
he has
nearly
secondhand
every,
from the NSA. Yeah.
I didn't read the exact. There were a couple of little passages that I didn't read on the air, but he did indicate I heard secondhand.
Mm.
That's very vague.
Well, you know, Phil did write the NSA. Back in 1997, I had heard that they were going to release a new package of NSA UFO documents. Mm-hmm. Previous to that, they'd released this heavily blacked-out affidavit justifying the non-release of 156 UFO documents. And I heard from somewhere that they were going to, because of a new executive order signed by President Clinton, making it tough to keep old classified documents classified unless you could justify it again, old meaning more than 25 years. So I called the NSA, Freedom of Information Office, and I told the gal my name, and she said, yes, I know who you are. And I said, oh? She says, yeah, I have a memo in front of me from Philip Klass in which he says that we should try to show something that isn't all blacked out because Friedman shows these documents on television. The blacked out affidavit that was 80% blacked out, perfectly legitimate to show them after all. He shows them and doesn't say that they're blacked out because of sources and methods information. I mean, here he's insinuating that 80% of an affidavit to a federal court federal court judge justifying non-release of these documents is all sources and methods information, which doesn't make any sense at all.
It's everybody's address and their mother's address and their dad's address and their grandparents' address. It's all blacked out.
And, you know, they did then, thanks to Phil, I suppose you could say, they sent me the new package, and the affidavit, instead of being 80% blacked out, was only 20% blacked out, proving why did they black out all that other stuff before. But much more interesting, they released 156 UFO documents. Well, sort of. There was a little note there that said whiteout has been used. And if you look at these documents, and I'll show some tomorrow, you will see that you can read one or two lines per page. So to say that these are released is rather misleading, to say the least. And I've had people in ufology at that time tell me, well, see, Stan, they're not holding anything back. There's no cover-up. I said, can you read beneath the whiteout? Well, no. I said, then they are. You're telling me sources and methods is 95% of these documents? It makes no sense. Why are they filed under UFO, So Phil has, in the past, made other efforts. We know about Jim McDonald. We know this attempt to get the NSA to recognize that Friedman is the enemy because he shows these blacked-out documents. And you notice they listen to him. That is, they put out a much less highly redacted version.
Well, he was a respected writer for maybe an editor by then.
Senior avionics editor.
Yeah, and connected guy. So, of course, they would. Look, there's a larger issue here, some of which will come up tomorrow in the symposium, and that is that I can't count how many times I've been asked, how is it conceivable that the government interaction with the issue of extraterrestrial phenomena, the actual presence of extraterrestrials, could be somehow maintained as a non-mainstream item of discussion for 58 years. How is it possible? Here's how it's possible. A man of Donald Menzel's stature agrees under his duties as an MJ-12 man to debunk the issue publicly, even though he knows otherwise. People like Phil Klasser signed on and either paid or they do it out of patriotism to debunk the issue in order to keep it under control. Carl Sagan cuts a deal with the government that he will not allow this issue to go forward, or he will not support it in return for we're not sure what, though it probably might have been not money, but it might have been matters that he considered important. The top networks, I am absolutely certain, have cut deals with the government that they will not address this issue, and I include in that the major newspapers, the Washington Post in particular. I'm saying it right now. Come sue me.
Well, we
publishers of the Washington Post cut deals with the government to not cover this right. issue. These people are too smart and too connected to have missed this. So if they're not covering it, it's because they have agreed not to do it. So that's how you get 58 years.
Well, let me give you an example.
We know from for a fact. I mean, just leave the field of UFO research for a moment. This is no need to speculate that for many, many years, CIA and has been known to have infiltrated major U.S. media. And this has been known at least since Carl Bernstein wrote a great scoop on this back in 1977. House investigations of the U.S. House of Representatives also uncovered CIA manipulation of mainstream media through the 1940s, 50s, and 60s, and 70s. Hundreds of mainstream American journalists, people with CBS, Reuters, Time Life, were on the CIA payroll covertly, okay? CIA in the aftermath of that said, well, we don't do that anymore. Well, what that meant was they don't have formal paid relationships with a lot of these people. But they did, even in the mid-90s, have a proviso saying, well, you know, for certain exceptions and matters of important national security, we will have relationships with media. So does that mean that the CIA or some other deep black agency controls the media wholly? Well, no, of course not. But it doesn't mean that with hundreds of people working for you, you can wield amazing amounts of influence when you need to. Mm. Sure. Sure it does. And then you go fast, you know, move to the UFO field. And what does it look like? Well, this is exactly what it looks like.
Well, but Kevin, be clear, you couldn't control the coverage of something this big simply by staffers on CIA payroll. You got to get that through the top. I mean, you have to get an agreement from the owners of the particular media in that
case.
That's
right, yeah.
But you'd also...
It's easier today than it was 50 years ago when corporate media is so much more centralized than it was back then.
Well, let me give an example of a cover-up that was fairly extensive. This past week, for the first time, the National Reconnaissance Organization, which normally keeps a very low profile, even though they're a multi-billion dollar a year organization, proclaimed, whatever you want to say, they certainly did it proudly, that they had operated the Poppy, P-O-P-P-Y, look it up on Google, plenty, satellite. And it was a spy satellite. There were nine of them launched between 1962 and 1971. That's a long time ago. There were nine of them launched. The average life was 34 months. They were listening in on Soviet electronic stuff from the ships at sea. It's a big ocean out there. Now, all that time, and there had to be loads of people, and they mentioned that they were working with other agencies, the NSA and Air Force Intelligence and the Navy and so forth. And it's just come out 43 years after the program began and 30 years after it ended. So secrets can be kept. That was a good-sized program. We're talking multi-million dollars, certainly, right. Maybe a billion or two,
mm-hmm.
for the NRO anyway. They like to spend money.
Well, that's the whole problem.
Yeah. UFOs are held secret in plain sight.
Yeah.
We got to go.
Well, we got a break. We'll go... As Victor said, we'll stop talking here for about 5 seconds while I talk, and then we'll resume talking while the microphones are off. You're missing wonderful conversation, I have to tell you. We'll be back with Stephen Bassett, Richard Dolan, and Stanton T. Friedman, we being Victor Vigiani and I.
Strange days indeed. UFO News Talk Radio on Montreal's CJAB 800 and 1010 CFRB in Toronto. We'll continue with your host, Errol Bruce Knapp.